This is a teaching this morning called The High Calling. First scripture I'm going to look at is Matthew 6:33. But I want to make a statement here. I want you to think about provision. Provision. In our walk, we must be pro God's vision. This is where all provision comes from. I hadn't really thought about it that way, but provision. You follow God's plan and there'll be provision. It just goes without saying. That's just the way it is. Matthew 6:33, this is the Amplified. But seek, aim at, strive after, first of all, His kingdom and His righteousness, His way of doing and being right. And then all these things taken together will be given you besides. When you are provision, then you have provision. Yeah. All right, first scripture here, we can turn to is 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. We're going to start with verse 1 there. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. That no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. Did you catch that? Suffering afflictions. You're appointed to them. That no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we're appointed there unto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain. He was concerned because of the warfare they were experiencing, that how they were doing. You know what? It would have done us all such a favor early in our Christian walk for people to tell us the truth, those who knew. But the problem is, those that are not walking His way don't know about it anyway. But those that really knew, the ones that were really doing something for the kingdom of God and they were really experiencing the warfare, if they would have clued us in on that, maybe we would have not been so shocked by it. But now, when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that you have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. Affliction and distress. And now we live, if ye stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God? Night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Now God Himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. To the end He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all the saints. Afflictions here means pressure. Pressure to do what? To abandon the vision. Like, I'm getting out of here. Why do most people run? Why did all those people come here and it got too hot and heavy so they left? Wasn't because they missed God like they thought, because see, they hadn't been taught. Well, I must have missed God. This couldn't be God, you know, and God, it's just all good. No, it's warfare. See, this is that pressure. That's what they were going through. That's what happened. They thought they missed God because they didn't see. I'm thinking, if they'd have gone through what I've gone through, God's building a spiritual house. It's not about a mass of people sitting out here today. It will eventually be that. But when you look at it that way, that you're going out there and everybody's going to love you and everybody's going to embrace you and think you're great, think again. We got to be real about this. We're going into the enemy's camp. We're there to take him out, like the Lord began this with. We're here to take the enemy out. This isn't Disneyland, which I even hate to use that. Anyway. Like it or not, it just comes with the territory. This is what I personally believe about it. The reason we didn't have much pressure before is because we weren't really doing much of anything for the kingdom of God. That's the truth. This is what Mark Taylor said one day. I heard him in an interview. And he's gone through a lot of physical things, especially since he started having he had, I don't know how many prophecies he's brought forth since 2011 concerning President Trump and about what's happening in our nation. And every single one of them have come to pass. He's hit right on the money. He's not even a proclaimed prophet, really. He said this. He basically said that if your life isn't a living hell, you're probably not doing anything for the kingdom of God. And I thought, touche, brother, you couldn't have said it any better. You know you're doing something for the kingdom of God if your life is a living hell. This is normal, y'all. This is the way it is. This is warfare. I was telling somebody that this week. I said, welcome to the walk of faith. Welcome to the walk of the Spirit. I mean, the true, real walk of the Spirit. You just entered the twilight zone. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. It's so strange to the normal Christian. They don't have a clue. It's sad. Now you know why it's Gideon's army. I agree with him totally. It is only those that are over the target that are going through these afflictions that are making a difference in the kingdom. All right. 1 Thessalonians 3:3 in the Amplified. I like the Amplified Bible. That no one of you should be disturbed and beguiled and led astray by these afflictions and difficulties with which I have referred. For you yourselves know that is unavoidable in our position and must be recognized as our appointed lot. You couldn't have said it better. Strong's appointed means to lie outstretched. In other words, laying before God. Whatever you say, Lord, that's the way it's going to be. It goes with the territory for those who are targeting the enemy and advancing the kingdom of God. Provision is in the kingdom. And despite the pressure that goes with it, we just have to keep moving forward in this high calling. We're taking the kingdom by force. Some people, and being so naive, think they're just going to stroll in here and just build their little whatever and everything's going to be a bed of roses. Well, many have come before you and they flopped. They failed. Because they didn't know this. They didn't know that. And you know, a lot of times they're trying to build a natural house instead of a spiritual house. All right. You know, I think it was Finney. Was it Finney? Anyway, one leader way back, probably early 1900s when the revivals were going on, they would send in intercessors in the areas and they'd pray for weeks before the team would ever come in. Why? Because they had to clear the devils out. so people could be open to receiving the gospel, because when there's strongholds of the enemy around, people are not going to hear. That's why these things that we do have to be covered by prayer. We're not going to take out Fox with just one simple little declaration. And we're not really taking out Fox. We're just cleaning out the riffraff and putting God's people into it. And, you know, we move on from Fox, we'll move on to somewhere else. I mean, they were pushing this morning before the broadcast all the gay pride and how wonderful it is. So that tells you what we've got, our challenge is ahead of us. Satan is rooted in it. All right, I'm going to read you some scriptures here. These are about provision. 1 Corinthians 1. About calling, high calling. Many are called, few chosen. Now you know why. But Lord, I prophesied in your name. Well, I don't know who you are. Well, I built a church. Really? Was that your building or my building? Let's light it on fire and see what remains. You'd be out of your ever-loving mind to want to start a church unless the Lord's leading it. Or anything. All right, 26. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. The calling is about getting the kingdom established. God's plan, God's way. It has nothing to do with us. We're just vessels. Right, 1 Corinthians 7:20. Let every man abide in the same calling wherewith he was called. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it. But thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's freeman. Likewise also he that is called, being free, is Christ's servant. You're bought with a price, but not ye, be not the servants of men, brethren. Let every man wherein he is called, therein abide with God. So many people fight their calling, never get in their calling, live and die and never. I was reading a Brother Hagin's, I guess it's, I don't know if it was health food or faith food, but he was talking about a woman that was sick and she could never seem to get well. And now she was in her 80s, and she confessed to him. She said, the Lord wanted me to be a missionary, and I never would. I just couldn't do it. I just couldn't accept the call. All right, Ephesians 1, 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto us the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. His plan. He has a will for each one of us. Ephesians 4. Verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, like we were discussing the other day, it is not a matter of doing this or that. It's a matter of I can't, or I, you know, this is the way it is with the Lord. It's like you're boxed in. You're on a track and you can't get off that track. That's the way God's will is for the person. Or it should be. I therefore the prisoner of the Lord. I'm a prisoner of the Lord today. So are you. Beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There's one body, one Spirit, even as you're called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So we're all a team with a goal to accomplish Father's plan. Okay, Philippians 3. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. You know, that was one thing that was so hard for me. And why I had to learn the way that I did. There was nobody that ever taught us anything about any of this. Nobody. Nobody. We learned how to get things. And I'm not knocking that. But as far as to really walk the Christian life, no. Second Thessalonians 1. Wherefore also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in him according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing here about having big ministries and making a name for yourself, is there? Nothing in here about that. It's like one band, one sound. All moving in the same direction. We're not here to toot our own horn. We're here to rally the troops and all start moving towards God's goal. All right, 2 Timothy 1. Starting with verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Here's that word affliction again. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our own works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. In other words, God's going to grace you in an area, and as long as you stay in that area, you're graced. You step out of it, you aren't. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom is Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. So at this time, Paul wasn't really a prisoner, actually a prisoner. Hebrews 3. You know why the affliction comes? It's because you're going against the darkness of this world. Your light. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope, firm unto the end. 2 Peter. Verse 10. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. Well, that's comforting. If you keep following him, you won't fall. Satan uses his scare tactics to try and stop you in this process. You know why? He wants you to stop. You're affecting him and his kingdom. You're pushing his minions out of places they've occupied. That's why the friction, that's why the affliction. God's not putting it on you. All right, Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. See, he don't want you setting captives free, laying hands on the sick and then recovering. Oppressed here means to exercise dominion against. There's where the friction comes in. You're exercising your dominion, your rightful dominion from Genesis chapter 1. You are exercising your dominion over the devil because he is here illegally and he has taken all our stuff and we're taking it back, and there's where the flat comes in, the affliction, the oppression. Remember last week when I said to you that we should not be defending but be in offensive mode. We're the rightful owners. He's the squatter. He's here illegally. He has no right to be here, but you got to run him off. You know, he's been around a long time. He likes it here, but we don't like him here. And so we have to run him off, period. And it may appear at first he ain't leaving, but he's going. He has to go. James 4:7, all over again. Resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Here's Amplified. So be subject to God. Resist the devil. Stand firm against him, and he will flee from you. The Apostle Paul had this confrontation with God. He wanted God to take it all off of him, but God had a different plan. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 1. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, whether out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of revelations there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me. Lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord three times that it might depart from me. In other words, Lord, get this thing off of me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then am I strong. I am become a fool in glorying. Ye have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you. For in nothing am I behind in the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. Yeah. True to the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience and signs and wonders and mighty deeds. See, Paul, this messenger of Satan kept him humble. It buffeted him. All right, let's keep going here. God's grace was enough for Paul. It's enough for us to press on to the high calling that God has before us. Satan uses his scare tactics, yes, false flag events, to get your focus off of the high calling and onto what he is doing. Like I said, spending too much time trying to get away from the things that you're experiencing. It's just what Satan wants. I encourage you again, don't fall for it, but keep your eye on the goal. Stop wasting your time trying to get it off of you and call on the grace of God that will cause you to move forward. It should not be shocking to you by now. Like it or not, this is the way it is. 1 Peter 4, beloved, do not be amazed and bewildered at the fiery ordeal which is taking place to test your quality, as though something strange, unusual and alien to you and your position were befalling you. But insofar as you're sharing Christ's sufferings, rejoice, so that when his glory, full radiance and splendor is revealed, you may be also rejoice with triumph exultingly. This is my new confession. I count it, Lord, an honor and a privilege to suffer for your name. Remember the movie, Facing the Giant. Remember the team captain. He had that kid on his back, 100 and however many pounds he was. They blindfolded him. And with the coach in his ear, he encouraged him. And he kept saying, I just can't make it. I can't go another inch. I just can't do it. I just can't do it. I just can't do it. He said, yeah, you can. Just one more step. Just one more step, you know. He made it the whole football field with 180 pounds somebody on his back or whatever it was, his weight was. Blindfolded, but he made it. Did he suffer? Yes. Did he win?
Yes.
Yeah. Philippians 4:13. I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I'm ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. That's the Amplified, Philippians 4:13. All right, Matthew 11:12 out of the Amplified. I'm on an Amplified roll today. And from the days of John the Baptist until the present time, the kingdom of heaven has endured violent assault, and violent men seize it by force as a precious prize. A share in the heavenly kingdom is sought with most ardent zeal and intense exertion. Why? Provision. Yeah. Satan has taken our world captive, and we are forcing him off. How are we going to do this? Colossians 3:2. And set your minds and keep them set on what is above, the higher things, not the things that are on the earth. Don't focus on what you're experiencing, but on what you're targeting. In other words, stay with the higher life. Don't go looking at the lower life. Satan's ways is the low life. He is a low life. Strong's affection here. To exercise the mind. Set your affection on things above. If you can exercise the mind on the lower life, then you can certainly focus your mind on the higher life. It's a discipline. Okay.